to church and, you know, some people think that we have to feel wonderful to come to church. Some people think that we have to feel that we're in the mood for church. But actually, the Bible tells us that when we come to church, it doesn't matter how we feel in the sense of whether God's going to accept us or not. We feel how we feel, and we come to church and we come before God and He accepts us and He receives us. There's a passage in the Bible we're looking at today, and it says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. There is a time to be born and a time to die. There is a time to plant and a time to uproot. There is a time to kill and a time to heal. There is a time to tear down and a time to build up. There is a time to weep and a time to laugh. There is a time to mourn and a time to dance. There is a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. There is a time to embrace and a time to refrain. There is a time to search and a time to give up. There is a time to keep and a time to throw away. There is a time to tear and a time to mend. There is a time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. There is a time for everything under the sun. A time for every way that we feel. And maybe you feel different at this time, but we come before a God who can accept all times and receive them into His hands. So let's stand together at the beginning of the service, if you would. If you could just like that. Well, please make yourselves comfortable, if you can. I say that with a small laugh because I'm up here walking about. I'm just going to chat for a few moments. So please, do settle in and make yourselves comfortable. It's interesting, isn't it? I was thinking as Richard was talking that whenever we come to church, we spend a lot of time focusing on God. You know, we've already done it this morning. We sing to God and we talk to God in our prayers and we engage in illustrations about God, which we've just done with Richard, and we try to listen to God sometimes and we hear stories about God. And we read notices about God. We're told of conferences sometimes that are happening that are about God. We recite words sometimes which describe God. We look at images occasionally which help us to focus on God. We spend a lot of time being told at church, again and again and again, in many different ways, that God is important. And if you hang around long enough on a Sunday morning, you get the impression that the aim is for people to include God in their lives, that this is the important thing. And, you know, I suppose that seems fairly normal, doesn't it? You're sitting there looking confused, and you're probably thinking, why are you saying this, Kate? Because, after all, we're at a church. This is what we do at church. Churches are where ministers are, and ministers urge people and talk to people and tell people that you've got to take note of God, because God is important. This is traditionally what we have done. This is traditionally what Sunday mornings have entailed for years and years and years. So I guess it's no surprise that church focuses on God. But you know, then I was thinking, the church service finishes, and we all leave, even me, I leave here. And life continues. You know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all the days of the week continue. And inevitably, things take on a bit of a different focus. Each day holds something new. Each day offers a new challenge. Each day brings a new problem. Each day opens up a new issue. Each day, one way or another, gradually takes our mind away from a Sunday morning and what we have been focusing on there. And some days are difficult. Some days we struggle through. Some days we relish and we look forward to. Some days are indifferent. We're not really bothered about them. Some days are full of joy. And some days, well, to be quite honest, they're slightly dull, aren't they? Some days we don't enjoy. But most days, for many of us, if nothing else, are very, very busy. They're packed with lots of different things to do. And at the end of the week, we find that that intense time on a Sunday morning we spent thinking about God and being urged to follow Him has become a distant memory, something that we did
7 days ago or 6 days ago. Life has taken over. Time has passed and been filled with lots of very important things. And it's funny, you know, because as we read at the beginning of the service this morning, the Bible says there's a time for everything. The Bible says there's a time and a season for every activity under the heavens. And even though the Bible says this, apart from on a Sunday morning, because of how life is, we don't actually seem to be able to find a lot of time for God all the time, because things are so busy. So, I mean, if I urge people, and Richard urges people, and other people urge people on a Sunday, that God is important, and if we spend the whole service focusing on him, where then are we supposed to find the time to actually fit him into our lives? Where are we supposed to find the time to then fit God into our lives in our busy week with all the important things that we've got to do? Because the thing about time is, well, time's kind of tricky, isn't it? I always think. Because, I mean, it's something that's very, very important to us. But it's also something we seem to have less and less of as we go through life. I don't know about you, but I kind of see it a bit like Christmas, past and present. Bear with me. Because when I was little, you know, Christmas, well, it took ages to arrive. You know, September, things started to come in the shops. And then you were like, ages till Christmas. And then you get to Christmas Eve and you were just thinking, oh my goodness, there's a whole night to go till Father Christmas comes. And so you'd be there in the daytime on Christmas Eve and you play with your friends and you do whatever, and your mum would get a bit cross because you weren't concentrating and she was wrapping all your presents and whatever. And then you get to the evening and you'd have to go to sleep. And my sister and I, we used to share a room at home where we lived. And we'd be in the same room, and I would get into bed, and I would just lie there going, oh, please let me sleep. Oh, no, please let me sleep. And I'd spend ages just really concentrating on sleep. And then eventually, I would find myself drifting off, because I knew as soon as I slept, Father Christmas would be here. So I'd be drifting off, and suddenly I'd hear, Kate, Kate. I'd be like, yes, is it morning, is it morning, is it morning? And I'd sort of go, no, just checking if you're asleep. I'd be like, oh, well, now I've got to get to sleep again. So I went, And then she'd go, do you want to see if Father Christmas is here? I'd be like, yeah. He might have come early. So we'd get out of bed and we'd sneak down the stairs and suddenly we'd hear, who's there? And we'd go, it's us, Mom. Just checking if Father Christmas has come. He's not been yet. Get back to bed. We'd get back to bed, and then I'd spend the whole night focusing on sleep, and it took forever until I could eventually get up at 6 o'clock. Father Christmas would be. But now that I'm older, it's like September. Oh my goodness, we're nearly at Christmas. How am I going to fit everything in? Where has all the time gone? I get to Christmas Eve and I think, have I got time to go to the shops to buy some presents? You know, this is it. I get to Christmas night, and I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. I just want to fall into bed and go to sleep. I get to Christmas morning, and I don't want to get up because I'm worn out, and time's just flown by. And that's like life, I think, now, isn't it? When you're little, there's so much time, and things seem to take so long to arrive. But as you get older, time gets shorter. You know, in fact, in some cases, it seems to kind of implode and disappear. You know, days fall into weeks, weeks fall into years, years fall into each other until everything becomes a bit of a blur. And you suddenly find yourself, even when you're in your 30s, going, oh, didn't that happen last year? Oh, no, 5 years ago. No, surely not. And then you start to refer to events that people around you didn't even know had happened. You're like, oh, yes, that's a nice present. It's like when we had the Queen's Silver Jubilee. Oh, you weren't alive. Oh, it doesn't matter. You know, you start to reference these things that were years ago. Time runs away from us with amazing speed, doesn't it? What we could once remember as a specific event has kind of blurred in our memory. What we thought we would never forget kind of slips out a bit, and we can't remember exactly what happened. And things that we imagined were years away are now just around the corner. They're about to take place. There is so much more to do, so much more to fit in, so many people pulling at our time that we can't spend time for anything else. We can't spare any more time. We don't have a lot of time to wait. We don't have a lot of time to stop. We don't have much downtime, as they say. And even if we did, even if we're one of those fortunate people who has a lot of time, the world around us doesn't seem to have time anymore, does it? I mean, things move so fast. They move on. Life is changing. Boundaries are shifting. There still seems to be a time for everything. And there still seems to be a season for everything under the heavens. But it all happens at once. It all comes together so quickly. I mean, you know, one minute, the European golf team have their hands firmly on the Ryder Cup. Oh, we've had it for 9 years. Oh, we're very good. Yes, the next, well, we just weren't good enough. No, we weren't. One minute, September is sunny. The next, it's freezing with a cold breeze. You know, one minute, you're sitting there waiting for your flight home. The next minute, you find you haven't got a plane. And you're just looking for a plane to get home anyhow. One minute, you're thinking, how much can I sell my house for? The next minute, you're thinking, can I sell my house? Because it won't raise any money. Life is ever changing, ever moving, ever shifting, with ever increasing speed. Nothing is certain. Nothing is static. Nothing, it seems, is sure anymore. And what's even more frightening is that we can do nothing about it. We cannot control the speed at which life seems to move anymore. We can do nothing about the events that pass us by. Because if we know one thing as human beings, we know that we cannot stop time. We cannot go back. We cannot go into the past, pick up the past and bring it into the future. We can't change what has happened or slow it down or make it different. It's impossible. If we know anything, we know that it's impossible. But even so, we kind of try, don't we? We try to bring the past into the present. We attempt to slow the passage of time. We still love to look back. We love to talk about our memories. We love to bring back the old days. You know, do you remember the summer of 76? Oh, a classic. Long sunny days, the heat intense. Don't get summers like that anymore. Do you remember He-Man, Wonder Woman, Godzilla, Jack and Ori? Oh, classic programmes. Kids stuff, not the same these days, is it? Do you remember West Ham winning the FA Cup? Oh, brilliant team. It did happen. Brilliant. Oh, don't know what's going on these days. Do you remember the Beatles? Broke the mould. Conquered America. All you get these days is these boy bands. I don't even know what they're singing. It's rubbish. Do you remember Live Aid? Oh, stayed up all night with my friends, sleeping in the sleeping bag, watching the telly. You don't get concerts like that these days. Even that one they tried before wasn't the same. You know, we remember things, and they become so much more better in our memories. We remember the classic days, the good times, the great people, the times that we wish to relive because today is so fast and today is so different. Because you see, the passage of time is so important to us. If we were to continue that passage we read earlier in the Bible, it says that God has made everything beautiful in its time. That God has set eternity in the human heart, that God has set time within us. that time is part of us. And yet, we can't control it. We can't seem to fit anything else into our time. We can't get it back. We can't change it. We can't stop the speed at which it moves. Life is ever changing, ever shifting, ever moving, extremely busy. It's a roller coaster of a ride most of the time. It's no wonder we struggle to understand how God fits in to our time. It's no wonder that even though on a Sunday we are urged to include God, we are told that God is important in our lives, we struggle to find ways to include him in our busy lives. Because in reality, how does God fit in? How does the God of the Old Testament fit into fast-moving life today? How does the God of the Ten Commandments fit in with the way that we live our lives now? How does the God of the New Testament fit in with our time? How does the God of miracles and healings and teachings fit into our world now? How does the God of the Bible, the God that's portrayed in the Bible, fit in with how we live? How does the God that we hear about on a Sunday for an hour fit in with the busy life that we lead today? Well, maybe he doesn't. Maybe God doesn't fit in. Maybe the reason we find it hard to fit him in on a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday and throughout the week and even on a Sunday at times is because actually he doesn't fit in to what we do. Actually, he doesn't fit in to the way that we live. Because you see, the thing is that the God we talk about on a Sunday was not actually designed to fit in with us. Rather, I think that we were designed to fit in with him. That we as created beings were designed to fit in with our Creator. So you see, maybe in our time-pressured lives today, the question should not be, well, how can I fit God in with what I do? But rather, how do I fit my time-pressured life into the God who created me? How do we fit the lives that we live into the God who holds time in his hands? Because, you know, when we read about God in the Bible, we don't read about a God who is distant and abstract. We don't read about a God who is difficult to know. We don't read about a God who is fairly disinterested in our busy lives, so we have to try and squeeze him in where we can. In fact, when we read the Bible, we read quite the opposite. We read about a God who made his dwelling among us. We read about a God who was found in appearance as a human being. We read about a God who experienced and understood most of the things that we experience and understand. We read about a God who has actually lived in the time restraints that we live in. We read about a God who is called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God with us. We read about a God in the Bible who is close. Closer than I think we often imagine. So it's not so much a case of desperately trying to fit God into our busy lives, because actually, you know, I believe he's already here. Actually, I believe God is already with us. He's already walking alongside us. He's already desperately wanting to be involved. He's already here. And our job is actually to learn to fit into him, to learn what it is to walk with him in all the things that we do, to learn what it is to engage with him in moments of our days when we're busy, to learn what it is to look out for him around each corner that we go of each day, to learn to bring him in to all that we encounter, all that we do, until our whole life, not just little sections of it, but our whole life is lived within God. And he encompasses every space in which we live. Let me tell you about something which might help you to see what I'm saying. Last week, or the week before, I talked about how Simon and I enjoy walking. Well, you'll soon realise this because I talk about it a lot. And here we are again. One of my favourite walks that we went on was in Switzerland a few years ago. And it was a walk that took 7 hours. Still feel a little bit weak thinking about it. It took 5 hours on the way there and 2 hours on the way back. And you'll realise why in a moment. And it was a wonderful walk, but also it was a horrific walk. And I'll just read a little bit. I kept a travel journal, and I noted down my thoughts on this walk that we went on. Beautiful scenery, wonderful mountains, but this is what I wrote. Today, we went for a walk again. We'd been on a few of them. It was a long walk, and it took us all day. All I can say is, everything hurts. There was one moment I thought I couldn't go on. There were times I couldn't imagine anything worse. And one moment that I knew even if I got to our destination, there was no way I was getting back. It was that good. It was all uphill, which you can imagine being in Switzerland. It was only as we were coming down that we wondered how we'd ever got up in the first place. Do you wish that you were coming on it? No. Okay. On the way down, oh no, I don't want to reach that bit because that's about meeting people that you don't know. Taking off our walking shoes at the end of the day was the best part. Yes. I know. It was full of endless steep slopes that when you thought you were at the top, it turned out you'd only just begun. Oh, the horrors. It went on for 7 hours. We struggled for 5 hours to get up. Basically, it consisted of this. Simon marching on ahead. Come on, Kate! This is wonderful! Me behind going, oh my goodness. This is like hell. Why have you brought me on this awful walk? Why are you forcing me to do this? Moan, 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 moan. I have to tell you, that was what I did the whole time. Moaned. I gladly admit it. And Simon breathing in the fresh air. Wonderful! Isn't it wonderful? We got to the top. And it took us 2 hours to get down because basically it was so steep you had to run. You couldn't do anything else. If you stopped running, you rolled. It was that steep. And it was awful. It was one of the worst walks I've ever been on in my life. But when we look at that holiday, Simon and I, it's the one walk that we remember. And it's the one moment we would say was the best that we had. Not because I enjoyed every minute, but because it was an adventure that we went on together. And it wasn't that we were always walking together. In fact, most of the time Simon was 3 or 4 metres ahead and I was clinging onto the railings behind. It wasn't that we even talked a lot of the time because I didn't have the breath to talk. It wasn't that we got on for most of the walk, because I was moaning for half the time. It wasn't that we were really communicating sometimes. But we did it together. And we had this adventure together, and we experienced it together. And that, more than anything, is what makes it the epic journey that we remember and we love and we talk about. And you know, the thing is, in this ever-changing, ever-moving, ever-shifting, extremely busy roller coaster of a ride called life. This is what I believe God desires more than anything else with us. Not that he be fitted in when we can spare the time, or when we're feeling good, or when life is okay, or when we're desperate, but rather that he is able to walk with us through every moment of every day, through every experience, through everything that we do, just like Simon and I walk together. And it might be that we don't talk to him most of the time, and it might be that he seems way ahead of us, and it might be that we don't communicate very well, but actually that we allow him to walk with us, to live with us, to be with us in all times, to be with us in the time when we laugh and the time when we cry, to be with us in the time when we mourn and the time when we dance, to be with us in the time when we embrace and the time when we refrain, to be with us in the time when we tear down and the time when we mend, to be with us in the time when we are silent and the time when we speak, to be with us in the time when we love and the time when we hate. I believe God wants to be with us right from the time we are born through to the time when we die. I think our God longs to be with us, whatever we are going through, wherever we are, however we feel. And our job is to include him in all the things that we do. And I don't know about you, but when I think about someone being with me like that, I can't think of any better way to live. And when I think that it's God who created me, I can't think of anything that I'd rather do more than walk with him each day of my life.